Channel Radio. Channel Radio.
On the hour.
Music, great music and talk.
On the hour. On
great
the hour.
Music and great music and talk.
It's 1 o'clock.
Business Bunker.
Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 29th of March. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the marvellous Martin White.
I'm glad you didn't say stonkingly gorgeous.
No, no, I had to think for a moment there, Martin, about something that was an adjective with alliteration in it, and marvellous was the first thing that came to... Well, it wasn't actually, but it was the second thing that came to mind.
You've made me sound like Marvin Hagler now.
Yeah, marvellous Marvin Hagler. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. As you would have gathered, listener, Jules is not with us this morning, this afternoon. She is indisposed.
Get well soon, Jules.
Yeah, yeah. There's nothing wrong with her. I just saw a Easter-based Twitter feed. She just ate gargantuan amounts of food and drank copious amounts of alcohol and then claimed that she was all tired out through working all weekend. There you go. Anyway, enough of that. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome you to the Business Bunker Show today. We've got a great lineup of guests, and we shall introduce them shortly. As always, we'd like to hear from you, the businesses of Southeast England, so you can get in touch in all the normal ways. You can, in fact, call us on 01 303 874 998. That's 01 303 874 998. Or you can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to get hold of us and to interact with us live on the show is to tweet me at VanillaWeb. And we have had a couple of hundred tweets already, but do keep them coming. We will try to read as many of them as we can. And I'm going to start off with a tweet I've got from a really good friend of ours on Channel Radio. We've had a tweet from the lovely Linda Reagan. Now, a lot of you will remember Linda because she was the incredibly gorgeous blonde yellow coat in Heidi High.
And
Linda is an actress and an author, and Linda has just finished actually doing a TV soap called Doctors, but she's actually a very prolific author, and she is about to speak at a weekend event in Deal, and it's called Deal Noir, and it's a crime festival weekend, and Linda is an incredibly successful crime writer, as well as being a very talented actress. And you can find out more about it by going to Linda's website, which is lindareganonline.co.uk. That's LINDAREGAN online.co.uk. All one word, Linda Reagan Online. Do check it out. It's the Deal Noir Crime Fiction Festival, and it's at the Landmark Centre in Deal, and it's on Saturday, April the 2nd. And you can find out more about the entire event by going to their website, which is Deal Noir, that's French for black, Deal Noir, .wordpress.com. Or you can follow Deal Noir on the Twitter, and their Twitter handle is Deal_Noir. And you can, in fact, follow Linda on the Twitter as well. And Linda's Twitter handle is Linda_Regan. And also, just so that you know, coming up fairly shortly, Linda's going to be appearing in an incredibly good stage play with young David Barry from this parish. For those of you that know our station well, David does a show for us on a Saturday afternoon called Imaginarium, and David is best known for his character Frankie Abbott in Police and Fen Street Gang back in the 70s. And Linda and David are appearing in a stage play called The Lives of Frankie Abbott, which is going to be fantastic. I've read the script. It's hilarious. I do suggest it's going on a mini tour and starting off in Broadstairs, and I do suggest you get along and watch that because it's going to be really hilarious. So
mini being the operative word in Broadstairs.
Yeah absolutely, yeah. But cool, so do check all of that out. So I'll tell you what, Martin, do you want to read an email now? Yeah,
well, I will, but I forgot to wish you a happy Easter. And everybody listening, and Dave and Stephen, happy Easter, everyone.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Did you get up to anything good? I know you had a lot on your plate.
I worked all weekend, I'm afraid. Yeah, I had one of those weekends as well. Loads of things went wrong that shouldn't have gone wrong and all the rest of it.
You should have dragged Jules into the studio and kept her off Easter.
Yeah, that will be the day. Yeah. Cool.
Right. Yeah, I've had an email from the e-commerce workroom. They are offering any business that does e-commerce through their website a free appraisal. And what they will do basically is have a look at your website in terms of how they think you can optimise it to maximise your online sales. Have a look at your customer database and how you're managing that. And just general advice, really, in terms of how they think you can optimise the delivery of your business for your customers. So contact the e-commerce workroom for that, and you can find details of that particular promotion on, they posted it on the Supply My Business website, so have a look on that as well.
Fantastic, thank you for that, Martin. I'm afraid your mic went a bit crackly there. We've had a few problems with that mic this morning, and we thought we'd fixed it. So we'll see how we get on with it, and if not, we'll have to move it. But your new nickname's gone down a storm, I have to tell you. Jodie Lawler has tweeted in, Marvellous Martin. She said, Marvellous Martin. That's quite a catchy nickname, actually, she says.
Thanks,
Jodie. Thanks,
Jodie. Just need the hair to go with it now. Lack of hair.
Cool. Right, we've had some more tweets. We've had Joe Dodds, who is Power to Live More on the Twitter, who has tweeted in, and she's got a podcast, so do follow her and have a check of her podcast. And we've also had a tweet from a new listener, Bin Warehouse, Bin_warehouse on Twitter. And it says, Hi, Vanilla Web and the Business Bunker. Please can we have a shout out for binwarehouse.co.uk? There's a free gift on every warehouse order, apparently. So if you want a bin, get over to Bin Warehouse.
The catch has just gone on my bin, actually, so I might well look them up. It's very annoying because the flap stays open.
Right, okay.
And I've got a cat at the moment that refuses to go in the garden and, you know.
You haven't been putting cats in the bin, have you? Like that YouTube video that went viral away a while back. Cool. We're going to struggle with that mic, I think. It's crackling. We might have to use the other one, Martin. Give it a go.
Right.
Oh, that's better. That's far more sexy.
Just shimmying across it to the other mic.
Yeah. Do you want to read an email now? Yes. Now we can hear what you're saying.
I will. A sport that's very close to my heart, golf, and there is a charity golf day on June the 9th. Please join us at Nizelle's Golf and Country Club on June the 9th for a day of golf, fun and networking in aid of three local charities, the Lewis Project, Seven Oaks, Day Nursery and the Bridge Trust. The day is open to chamber members and non-members alike. You can put together a two-ball, three-ball or four-ball team or join us as a single player. Now, this is the Seven Oaks Chamber, as opposed to Kent Invicta Chamber, who are also running a golf day, I know. I think it's a week later than that. So this is the Seven Oaks Chamber of Commerce. They are organising the event. And for more information, including sponsorship opportunities, please email info@sevenoakschamber.com. info@sevenoakschamber.com. And Paul, I think you're doing a chamber event, aren't you, in the near future?
I'm doing a few events, but they're actually in your pile to read later, I think. But I'm doing an EU debate with the Seven Oaks Chamber on April 28th. There's an email with all the details, which we'll get round to later. It's at Seven Oaks School, and so far the panel is Dan Hannan, MEP, and Peter Fleming, who's the leader of Sevenoaks District Council. And there are two more business panellists to be announced shortly. We're going to have a panel of four and audience participation. It's going to be fun.
Would that be Brexit that you're talking about
there? We will be talking about... We're going to be talking about the EU referendum, specifically how remaining or leaving may affect the small and medium business marketplace. So we're being quite narrow, and as the chair of that thing, I'm going to try and keep it on a fairly narrow set of issues, which is how staying or going may, because none of us know either way really, how it may affect small and medium-sized businesses.
It's interesting, because the Wealden Business Group have already decided that they're leaving.
Oh, are they? They're off. They've had enough.
Okay. So there was a debate on Wednesday, the 16th of March, and the straw poll taken at the meeting showed 9 members in favour of leaving the EU, 8 in favour of staying, and 3 undecided. So it's clearly going to be a tight debate, this one. It's interesting, though, and if you do want to find out more about that, if you visit the Wealdenbusinessgroup.co.uk, so 3 W's, Wealden. businessgroup.co.uk, click on their blog, you can have a read of the write-up of their Brexit meeting recently.
It's interesting, isn't it? Almost every networking meeting I go to, or conference or seminar or anything, everybody takes a straw poll on this topic these days. And I have to say, it always comes down a few one way or the other, but looking at it, it's actually split 50-50, really. It's a very tight thing. It's going to be a very interesting referendum to see exactly how that comes out. And whichever way it goes, I don't think it's going to go by very much, which is probably the worst possible result that you could get, because it's no real decision one way or the other. So let's, you know, see what happens in the next couple of weeks. But it would be nice to have some corroborative facts rather than a lot of the scare tactics that both sides are chucking out at the moment. I've read some nonsense from some politicians in the last week.
It's very difficult to, you know, do your own research on this, isn't it?
Yeah,
because
whatever
you read, there's always some sort of biased opinion attached to it, and it's very hard to be objective and impartial about it at the moment. I think that's what we need, some objective discussion.
From a business point of view, if you look at it as a business person, when you go into business, you have a plan of some kind, but the biggest thing that you can have is flexibility, because no plan ever survives engagement with the enemy, or the customers in this case. And that's one of the issues is with this particular topic, either way, in or out, makes no difference. None of us know the future. And one of the things is that things change. You know, you can have a perfectly good reason for staying or a perfectly good reason for going, and that could change in 3 months' time. Mm. So it's a little bit, you know, unknowable. It's all about opinion, really. Mm. Anyway, it's going to be interesting to see how that unfolds.
I've had a tweet, Paul, from Blackboard Schooling.
Have you?
Who we really ought to get on the show, actually. That'll be Dean and Georgina Squires. Mm. They're based in St Nicholas at Wade. Mm-hmm. And they run a preschool and after-school service for parents who want to give their kids an additional bit of tuition, for example.
Okay. Yep.
But they also run a holiday club during the school holidays, which they've got running this week, obviously. So if you're interested in the Blackboard Schooling Holiday Club at St Nicholas in Wade, please get in touch with them at Blackboard Schooling. So it's at Blackboard Limited, and you'll find them on the web, obviously.
Fantastic. Work has begun to transform the former Salisbury Hotel in Folkestone into two exciting new venues. A 4-star boutique hotel and a stylish restaurant and bar with a British concept menu. With a projected completion date of July 2016, so imminently, the View Hotel Folkestone and the Cliff Restaurant and Bar will bring a brand new element to Folkestone's accommodation and dining offer. The new owners are a family-led business, and the major renovation project is being overseen by brother and sister team Dave Mellish and Anne Grundy. They love bringing old buildings back to life, and they will be restoring and keeping most of the original features. They say, we've fallen in love with Folkestone itself, and the town is in a hugely exciting phase. And Dave says, the people here are clearly passionate about investing in their town, and we're delighted to be adding to that investment in the hope that our new venues will become an integral part of Folkestone's cultural life. The future of the building in Clifton Road is bright, but Dave and Anne would love to know more about its past. So if anyone in Folkestone or Kent in general has any memories, photographs or documents relating to the building's past they would like to share, please could they get in touch with Jane Connolly at White Spot PR, and you can get in touch with Jane by emailing her at jane@whitespotpr.com. You can follow the hotel and bar venue's progress as the project unfolds by following on Twitter. And they have two Twitter handles, at View Folkestone and at The Cliff with an E, CLIFFE, Folks, FOLKES, The Cliff Folks. So do follow one or both of those to find out how this project is progressing. But it's not going to be too far in the future, is it, if it's opening in July? So it's only 3 or 4 months away. Mm-hmm. So it's always great to bring something back into the community, isn't it? And let's hope it's a rip-roaring success. And I'm going to try and get Dave and Anne to come on the show and tell us about the project, because I think that could be interesting.
Brilliant.
I've also had an email. Meet the author. A local author, Miriam McGurk, and hear her story at Cross Pollination Art Gallery in Maidstone. On Monday the 4th of April, between 11:30 and 1:30, take the opportunity to meet Kent author Miriam McGurk. Hear her story and extracts from her books at the Cross Pollination Art Gallery, which is in Starnes Court, Union Street, Maidstone. 11:30 to 1:30, they'll be welcoming all for this free event, which includes refreshments and a gallery tour. Miriam's guest of honour will be serial business entrepreneur and owner of Channel Radio. Oh, that's me. You don't want to worry about that. Miriam will be revealing some of the secrets behind her writing achievement and the stranger than fiction journey her life has taken to become a successful author. Having published two books within the space of 6 months and had her books accepted for sounding branches of Waterstones and at the London Review Bookshop, Miriam's life is non-stop, and no one would guess that behind Miriam's work ethic lies the need for a strict routine to manage her health and daily well-being. Miriam lives with ME and fibromyalgia, now living a quality of life mainly due to her diet, exercise and rest routine. And on the 4th of April, Miriam will be sharing her knowledge of health and well-being from her own experiences. So do drop in and join us for an inspiring, fun and interesting event, and spend your lunch hour soaking up some art, literature and positivity.
We've just had a tweet from Miriam as well, saying that she's listening in with Chris Pollard. Hello, guys.
Hello, guys. We're looking forward to that. So that's next Monday, isn't it? April the 4th. Yep.
Got an email here from Wayne at WSQ Solutions. Wayne was on the show, wasn't he, a couple of weeks
ago? Dr. Wayne Wright.
Yes, yeah. Wayne Wright. Mm. So they've got a very interesting seminar that they're running for business owners. They are offering listeners of the Business Bunker a free one-hour session for business owners who would like to understand the process of becoming a chairman of their company or thinking about exiting or selling the company, and want to know more about how to prepare their business for this. So that will be fascinating, because I can't remember if that was something we discussed last week, but, you know, you're really looking at sort of planning 5 years ahead. Now, it was at Fruitworks, wasn't it?
Absolutely. We were talking about that Fruitworks, and funnily enough, later on in the show today, we have an expert with us who's going to be talking about exactly that kind of thing.
Perfect.
So we're going to hear from Stephen Askey later. He's just run off to go and find out something about it. So, and we're going to be talking to Stephen later about exit strategies.
There are 10 places available at this WSQ event, and the best way to book your place on that is to email Wayne directly at info@wsqsolutions.com.
Cool. Thank you for that. We've had a tweet from a new listener, Accordio. Accordio Limited. How about a Business Bunker shout out for Accordio Limited, a new digital and technology consultancy in Shepway? Well, consider yourself shouted out, guys. You can follow them on the Twitter. It's Accordia_LTD. That's spelled A-C-C-O-R-D-I-O. Accordia_LTD. Give them a follow on the Twitter. And we've also had a tweet from Cars from Kent that says, hi Vanilla Web, hi Martin. Could we have a Business Bunker shout out, please, for carsfromkent.com? Cheers. Mm. Consider yourself shouted out.
And we had a tweet earlier on from Fruit Bowl Media as well.
Did we?
The website guys over in Canterbury.
Cool.
So they wanted a quick shout out. So hello, guys.
Hello, Fruit Bowl Media. Do you know what we're going to do now? we're going to have a little bit of tunage. And we're going to have this bit of tunage because our next guest, when we come back from this, Mr. David DeCara, is celebrating a bit of a birthday today. So we thought we'd play him this. What do you reckon? Yeah? Bit of Stevie Wonder. Happy birthday, David.
Believe it. dream become a reality? I know we will, because our hearts tell us so.
Rift Accounting. The accountants of tomorrow, today. Riftaccounting.com.
Jobs in Kent.com.
Find suppliers and quote for work with local Kent businesses at supplymybusiness.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 29th of March. It was a little happy birthday ditty to celebrate David Dakara's birthday.
Hey, thank you.
We had a dance around the studio, didn't we, guys? Yeah. We're going to talk to David in a moment. We've got a couple of tweets and bits and pieces we want to read out, though. Martin?
Yeah, we've got Alex. Alex Waterton from...
Hello, Alex.
F. Keys has tweeted in to say hello. And also the lovely Jane Chakravorty, who was on the show last week from Invicta Linux.
Yeah.
She says hello as well.
Hello, Jane. So,
hello, Jane. Hope you're well.
You see, this happens, you know, people come down here and then they can't leave it alone. They want to come back. And that's great. We'd love to have them back. Jane was a fabulous guest, so it was really cool. Be good to have her back. We've had a tweet from Caring Kent, and you can follow them on their Twitter, Caring Kent. And they say, hi, Vanilla Web, Martin, can we have a shout out, please? Yes, you can. You've been shouted out. As we will do with Rexu Web Design. Please, could we have a shout out for our business? We're web designers. And you can follow them on the Twitter at Rexu, R-E-X-U, Web Design. All one word, Rexu Web Design. And we've also had a tweet from Umbrella Employment. And they're Umbrella Employ on the Twitter. And they say, Vanilla Web, hello from us. We're helping job seekers find employment in Medway hospitality industries. And we've got a new program starting in April. So if you follow them on the Twitter, I'm sure you can find out more about that if you're interested. And their Twitter address is Umbrella Employ, all one word.
We've also had a hello from Andrew Knott, another Business Bunker stalwart from the FSB Kent and Medway. So hi, Andrew.
Hello, Andrew. Thank you for tweeting. And as always, for listening in, we do welcome your input to the show. And one last tweet before we move on to talking to our first guest of the day. We've had a tweet from Legend Studios. That's Legend_Studios on the Twitter. It says, hello, Paul. Could you mention today Legend Studios? We now offer VR 360 films and photography for businesses. I'm guessing that is virtual reality, 360 films and photography. And Oliver McNeil, for it is he, who is the man, the talent behind Legend Studios, is a fabulous photographer.
They're fantastic, aren't they? Because you can get a 360-degree view of your restaurant that you're planning to go to, or the house that you might be looking to buy, or whatever. They're really quite useful.
It's brilliant, isn't it? Yeah. No, he's a really good man. He, in fact, took my headshot photos as well that are on my various social media pages.
Is that a 360-degree view, or just the front?
No. I couldn't get my brain in a 360-degree view. Yeah, my brain goes flat at the back. Anyway, do you know what? Enough of this nonsense. It's about time we did something sensible, don't you think? It's about time we actually talked to our first guest. It's an absolute pleasure to... this is the first time, isn't it, David?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've talked to David many times about coming on the show, and we never kind of got it together. So it's an absolute pleasure. On his birthday...
My birthday, I got up this morning, had to get up early to be here. Didn't want to lounge around in bed, but no, had to get up.
You've been to a networking meeting.
Don't spoil a good story.
So it's an absolute pleasure to welcome David Dakara to the Business Bunker Show. David is a Toastmaster. A master of ceremonies, amongst many other things.
Thank you.
David, let's kick off by, I want to get a bit of background. What got you into Toastmaster? What, What is it? Toast mastering.
Toast mastering works. Toast mastering works very well indeed for me.
What got you into it? What made you do it? And tell us a bit about it.
Well, I think I need to go back to student union days. If you think about the Master of Ceremonies aspect of things, I ran my first meeting as chair of the students' union when I was at college, so that's 40-plus years ago. And I've done a lot of that kind of thing since then. So in more recent years, emceeing family weddings, emceeing social functions.
Because there must be a huge range of different types of functions that you perform at.
Well, yes. If you think just in terms of wearing the Toastmaster uniform, I've introduced music acts for a Stand Up to Cancer gig. I've done gala dinners, award ceremonies, weddings, of course, very, very popular and probably more common than anything else in terms of the work that I do. Really quite a wide range.
Diverse, yeah. Because I saw you a couple of weeks ago at the Cameraman in Business Awards as well, which you... was it not? I saw you somewhere.
No. You saw me. Look at stonking my. Yeah. Look at stonking fella next to me here.
Was it him?
It was him. Supply my business.
Oh, of course it was. Of course it was. It was at Discovery Park.
Yes, I knew I'd seen you somewhere recently.
Yeah.
And that, of course, is another aspect of it as well. Not always in Toastmaster uniform, sometimes in a straightforward business suit, but yes, acting as compere or MC for the event.
Okay. So. Give us a feel for what's involved. I mean, when you get an assignment to do something, what's the process you go through? Or, you know, is it all old hat now and you kind of just rock up and do it?
No. There's a lot of thought that that needs to go into it. Are we talking about a wedding now, a social event, or a business event like...
Well, let's look at both aspects of that. Let's start off with a wedding, you know, kind
okay.
of...
Okay, all right. Well, let's take a wedding then. That really starts off, you know, one might be approached either by a wedding couple or by a venue who want to book you for a particular wedding. The most important thing is to actually speak to and meet the wedding couple themselves and find out from them what it is that they would like from their day, how they would like their day to go. Many years ago, it was the case that a wedding couple would come along to a Toastmaster and say, well, what is it that we do? What do we, you tell us, what do we do today? These days, it's really quite the reverse. It's a case of saying to them, well, how would you like your day to go? What would you like me to be doing? How would you like me to be introducing you? How would you like me to behave with your guests? Do you want me to be formal? Do you want me to be relaxed? Do you want me just to stand in the shadows until, apart from those very few moments when I have to step forward and say something or do something? Or do you want me out there meeting and mingling with your guests? And what's amazing is that when you speak to wedding couples, very often they don't actually realise that they've got some choices here.
Absolutely, yeah. I was going to say, you know, I can imagine a lot of them go, I don't know.
They do, but what's also very encouraging is that as soon as they realise that they've got the scope for some choices, you see lights going on and they start asking questions. Well, can we do this? And what would it be like if we brought that in? You can see the interaction between the bride-to-be and the groom-to-be, and they're thinking, oh, let's ask, you know, can we do this? Is this possible?
Absolutely.
It's a definite skill pool, because when we ran our event a couple of weeks ago, apart from anything else, what it gave me was a breather.
Yeah.
You know, and it was fantastic to have someone like Dave there, actually making sure that the transition from this to that and introductions of various different people and also just you know, directing people to tea and coffee and just generally making them feel looked after.
Yep.
Which, you know, if you're actually hosting an event, it's very, very difficult to do. So to have another pair of hands that can do that for you is invaluable.
Absolutely.
And the key thing, you touched on it here, key thing always, and this doesn't matter whether it's at a wedding or a business event or a dinner or whatever, the key thing is communication. It's letting the guests know what is happening next. So, for example, if we go back to the wedding or if we take the business event, people come in, they'll see that there is a compere there or a master of ceremonies or a toastmaster, and they'll just know at that point, okay, I'm going to go off and do what? I'm going to chat with you, drink coffee, have some something to eat. When I have to do something or when I have to be somewhere else, that bloke over there in the bright jacket or that lady, if it's a lady Toastmaster, they will tell me what to do. So in the meantime, you know what? I can relax and get on with enjoying myself or having the business discussion that I'm having.
Absolutely. I guess that's one of the points of the uniform as well, isn't it? That you become a focal point in the room because you stand out amongst everyone else. You know, normally at a lot of events, people are either wearing dinner suits or whatever or formal attire. And then you've got this lovely red jacket and ensemble that you wear that makes you the focal point, really.
Oh, I love to hear those words, lovely. There. Yeah. Yes, you're absolutely right. It does. Nobody's going to mistake the Toastmaster at an event like that.
Yeah.
And it does create a focal point. But, you know, it has to be said, we are not the focal point.
No,
the Toastmaster is not the focal point. It's just that there are certain stages during the course of the event where we have to step up and take over in the sense of being the key point, that focal point, just for those, and it's generally no more than 30 seconds at a time that we need to be saying something.
Absolutely. I mean, from a focal point of view, what I kind of meant was when you start to speak and people look round and they see you in the uniform, they immediately recognise that you're going to say something of interest, importance or usefulness. If somebody else just rocks up in a suit and says, excuse me, you know, a lot of people will just ignore them because they think, well, you know, they're just drunk or something.
Well, it's a really good point, and I think nowhere is this more obvious than at a wedding. I mean, you know, we have to be honest here. Nobody needs a Toastmaster for a wedding. There are always other ways of doing it. You've got an Uncle Fred or a brother-in-law or somebody like that who can be quite vocal. But the issue is this, are people going to take notice of them? If somebody in the family comes up and says something to you, we need to do this, it's a case of, oh, yeah, right, okay, yeah, yeah, we'll get to it. But if you've got somebody over there who's in a uniform who's saying, it's time now to do this, I mean, we don't shout, but, we can be very firm when we need to be.
Yeah.
It's time to do this, it's time to move there. People are much more likely to take notice.
Absolutely. This whole thing as well is a very specific set of skills. As most people probably know, I've got a fair amount of experience of public speaking, but doing the kind of job that you do isn't what I do. And it's interesting that you say that, you know, weddings and stuff like that. One of the things I really don't like more than anything else is I go to family events and they go, oh, you're always gobbing off in public. Could you do the announcements? And I go, do you know what? I really don't want to do that. And I'm not really very good at that either. It's not what I do. And I don't particularly want to do it. You need a professional to do it and to do it properly because that's not what I do. So it is quite different to other forms of public speaking.
Yeah, you're absolutely right here. A lot of people think being a Toastmaster is all about public speaking. And it's not. Public speaking, if you're giving an address or you're giving a presentation, like, for example, the one that you gave at Martin's function the other week, that's a completely different thing. For a Toastmaster, it's about, you talk about the skill set. It's about bringing together the skills of communication. So we need the presence, we need the gravitas, we need the voice, supported with PA if it's appropriate as well. And we need to be able to get people's attention in the right kind of way. I have once been given permission by the most powerful woman on the planet, the mother of the bride, at a wedding, who actually said to me, you're going to have to tell them, you're going to have to shout at them to get them to take notice. This was just one particular group of people who were having so much fun. And I can imagine. I actually did come out with the words, oi, you lot, shut up a minute. It's the one and only time I've ever done it so far. But it worked and it led to an awful lot of banter. But normally, no, you don't need to be doing something like that at all. It's all good-natured.
Mm.
Dave, I must ask you this. Would you liken yourself perhaps to a regimental sergeant major in that respect?
Absolutely not. I've
you horrible little man.
Yeah, that might be what I'd like to say, but professionally, not what I could, not what I would say. No, no, you're not. If you're Toastmaster at a very, very formal function, then I can see where the regimental sergeant major background or the parade ground sergeant major background could be useful, but you're not barking out orders at any time. Yes, one needs to use the voice, but you need to do it in a way that's not going to alienate people, not going to offend them, but a way that's welcoming. But at the same time, it's letting them know something needs to happen here, guys, and you need to change what you're doing, and you need to be doing something else now. Thank you very much. So, you know, one's got to have a sort of a welcoming approach as opposed to a confrontational one.
The other thing that Dave has done recently is he's written a fantastic blog about the things that you need to think about when you're running your event.
All right, okay.
He's posted it on the Supply My Business website under the blog section in community. Dave, have you got it on your own site as well yet, or about to?
It will be going on my own site, but I'm smiling here because Martin gave me the brief for this. He very kindly asked me to if I'd write a blog. I said, sure. How much am I writing? And he said, oh, about a page of A4 is the kind of the norm. 3 pages later, I'm realising, do you know what? There's a book here to be written. So, you know, please do read my blog. It will just give you a few pointers, but believe me, there's an awful lot more that can be covered.
Do you want to, I don't want to kind of steal the thunder from the blog, but do you want to give us a couple of the things, a couple of the main points when you're thinking about planning an event, a couple of the main points to start to think about, and then everybody can go and read your blog and find out about the rest of it, and then when you do it, they can buy your book.
Well, here we go. Think about the overriding thing is you're planning an event. What is it that you want to have happen at this event?
Yeah.
You've got to be very, very clear in your mind what it is the event is for and what you would like to have happen, what you would like the people to do when they go away from the event.
That's especially true of a business-orientated event or a training event or a learning event, absolutely. And that's a simple but very powerful point because a lot of people don't think about that.
Well, that's absolutely true. They just go, oh, we're going to run an event and we're going to go straight into us organising all the details. So get that overriding, there's a kind of a plan there, or rather, not so much a plan, a vision of what it is the meeting is about. And then what I would suggest is break down the event into a beginning, a middle and an end.
Yeah.
Now, frankly, I don't mind. I wouldn't say you've got to start with any one of those. You start where you're comfortable. But think about the beginning, the opening, how you would like that to be. Think about the end, how you'd like that to be. And all the things that are going to happen in between. Think about those. And then you've got the start, or you've got the building blocks for actually creating the plan, the running order.
You're absolutely right. Many, 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 many years ago, in fact, when Noah was still putting planks on a boat, I used to teach public speaking.
Wow.
And I had a 3-step principle, which was incident, action, benefit. Opening, what you're trying to tell them, and what you want to do with what you've told them. And that kind of 3-step process is exactly how you've just said it as well. It's that 3-step process, you know, how to open, what it's about, how to close.
And here's a tip for you. If you're actually planning the event, think about the linkages between the speakers and the particular sections that are happening at the event. Mm-hmm. And make sure that if you've got a compere in, or if you've got somebody who's facilitating the event, whether it's an MC or a Toastmaster, make sure that they're aware so that they can create the link from one stage to the next stage. So you don't have an event that's full of completely separate or different things. They're all tied together. So once again, when you're starting your planning, just be very clear in your mind. What's the connection between this speaker and that speaker? Why are they here?
Mm. Okay, cool. I want to ask you this, and this could kind of fizzle out into nothing, but coming up shortly, both myself and our next guest, Stephen, are chairing discussions and debates and panels. As a master of ceremonies, is that something you've ever been called on to do?
Not as a master of ceremonies, no. Okay. I've done it as a chair way that you're going to be chairing before. I think the it's interesting, actually, because there is a connection here between what you're describing and also the work that a Toastmaster does, which is the attitude, I know you guys really quite well, but just remember, it's not about you. So when I'm acting as a Toastmaster, it's not about me. When you guys are facilitating a conference or a meeting or a discussion, it's not about you. And that facilitation process is critical to what's going on.
Absolutely. And again, it's a different set of skills, isn't it? It's a different set of skills to being a Toastmaster. It's a different set of skills to being a speaker. It's a whole other set of skills, because you're absolutely right. You can't let your own thoughts, opinions and biases into that. You've got to be independent, and you've got to let the other people kind of come out with it.
Yeah, yes, you have got to step back and you have got to be independent. I think it's quite okay if you can, when you're finishing off and when you're introducing, or rather you're doing the outro from one speaker and going into the next, if you can provide a link in there that makes a point. But as long as that point is actually one that can lead to further discussion, that's in the business scenario. Or if I'm doing it from a Toastmaster point of view and we're looking at a purely social engagement, if it can bring a smile to someone's face, then also that's allowed.
Absolutely. I just want to ask you this, because it's something that I think is really important, and I just want your views on it, really. I go to dozens and dozens and dozens of meetings and events and seminars and networking meetings, and I've spoken over the years on a huge amount of platforms and stages and all the rest of it. And still, the one thing I come across with business people more than anything else is a fear of speaking in public. And, you know, these people will do all kinds of other things. They have all kinds of other knowledges, skills and abilities, but that fear of public speaking still hangs around, especially in this country. And it's something that I find quite odd, because there's a set of techniques you can learn to speak in public that are quite straightforward. But people, when forced to do it, the vast majority of them still come down to having a technical prop, like a PowerPoint presentation, and reading their slides to you. I just wonder what your thoughts on public speaking were from that point of view, David.
Okay. There's something that I really feel quite passionate about here, and this is something that goes on to my other background a lot in sales as well. People who are asked to speak in public, particularly when they're doing it for the first time, their immediate words that come to their minds, comes to the brain, is presentation. I've got to give a speech. I've got to give a talk. I've got to give a presentation. I've got to give a this, a do this. And that's where the inhibitions start in immediately, because issues of self-confidence kick in as well. So don't do it. Don't go there. Go along with the idea there's a bunch of people here and I'm going to have a conversation with them. I know my stuff. You wouldn't be asked to be speaking if you didn't know your stuff.
Absolutely.
I know my stuff. I'm going to go and have a conversation with these people, and I will use a prompt, but it's using the prompt, not allowing the prompt to use you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Martin?
I mean, the point you make there, Paul, about technology, the number of people, as you say, that hide behind technology because they can't overcome that initial inhibition. But how often does technology fail? Every presentation I see that uses PowerPoint...
The slides stop.
There's either a problem setting the damn thing up, or a screensaver kicks in halfway through and they can't get back into the presentation.
Yeah.
Every time I see it, and even if it's just an abbreviated PowerPoint, why put yourself through that angst on the day, of relying on that to work?
Yeah, absolutely.
Please, if you're going to do something like that, if you're going to use technology, do take some hints from people who've done it before, because there are ways of making it easy for yourself.
Yeah.
They really do exist, and... there are also ways of making it very, very bad. And there's no rocket science involved here. Quite apart from the IT issues themselves, they're very, very basic points that if we can point them out to you and just make you aware of them, makes the whole process so much easier for you and much more pleasant for your audience.
Absolutely. I mean, one of my bugbears with this kind of thing is people that actually read the slides to you. If you've put the slides up, I don't need you to read them to me. It's a bit like people that read off of prompt cards as well. I just find that deadly dull. But interestingly, having worked as a speaker for many years ago, you kind of rock up and see loads of people. And there was a guy that I kind of found myself sharing a stage with on a fairly frequent basis, who was really brilliant, because he used to do fabulous, fabulous presentations. But while he was talking, he would do little magic tricks, and he wouldn't even refer to them. He's talking about a business subject, and all of a sudden he'd produce a bunch of flowers from his sleeve and just throw them off. He wouldn't say a word about it, and the audience would kind of look, and then it was brilliant. It was really, really fabulous.
But, here's an example of something that people need to bear in mind. If I go along to a presentation and there's a slideshow that's happening, I am not going to remember the words that have been posted up there. So at the end of that presentation, what I am going to remember, and you need to be very mindful of this when you're preparing a presentation or a business event, I'm going to remember the emotion that I left that meeting with. Mm-hmm. I'm going to remember whether I felt overpowered, whether I felt patronized, whether I felt overjoyed, stimulated. So when you're running the event, you've got to be particularly mindful. What's the emotion I want these people to go home with? Because, oh, by the way, all of that slide presentation, I can email that to them. They can read that at their leisure. Mm-hmm. But when they're there, I'm the one who has the opportunity to create that emotion in them. That's what you want.
Absolutely. Fascinating topic. Absolutely fascinating topic, David. Thank you for sharing your birthday and your skills and knowledge on that.
That's a pleasure. I'm looking around the studio here. Now, I can't see the bottle of champagne. Yet,
no,
but
no.
I know it's around here somewhere, so maybe while Stephen's chatting to you.
I think the alpacas
didn't bring
here.
Any cake either, Paul.
No, no. Yeah, we missed
what
Jules.
What kind of joint is this anyway?
We missed Jules for that kind of thing. She is pretty good at organising that kind of stuff. And I'm not. Hey, David, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. Give us a shout for your website, Twitter handle, Facebook page, or however you want people to find you and what you do, and your blog indeed.
Well, do you know what? I want people to phone me.
Okay.
I want people to speak to me. So my telephone number is 07764897739. I do have a website. I've got Twitter handle, but you know what? You're not going to write those down as we're talking to you over the air.
Yeah.
But if you Google me, David DiCara, all one word, I'm the only one in my family who spells it that way. And guess what? I'm the only one in the family who's got it wrong. But there we go. Google me, but I'd love to speak to you.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Thank you so much for that, David.
Paul, thank you very much indeed. Good to be here.
Absolute pleasure to have you. Thank you for that, and we really do appreciate it. Do stay with us for the rest of the show, but for the moment, Toastmaster and MC, Mr. David DiCara, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Brilliant. I tell you what, Martin, we've got loads of tweets piling up here, and I'm going to read some of those. Do you want to crack on with an email very quickly?
Well, I've been told off, Paul, because at the beginning of the show, my mic, by the sounds of it, wasn't working at all.
Yeah.
So, should I revisit some of those earlier ones? Or?
Yeah, go for it. Okay. Yeah, there were two, I think, that we couldn't hear.
So, very quickly, e-commerce workroom. They do what it says on the tin. They are e-commerce online retail specialists. If you have an e-commerce website, they will, free of charge, take a look at your website for you. They will give their views on how you could optimize your website to increase conversion rates, and basically give you an overall view in terms of what they think your strategy could be moving forwards in order to maximize your online sales. So you can contact info@ecommerceworkroom.co.uk, or you can find the details of that offer on the Supply My Business website in the community section.
Fantastic. Cool. We've had a tweet from Felicity Dunderdale, who on the Twitter is 4_women. 4 spelled F-O-R-E, and you'll understand why in a moment. And she says, Vanilla Web Business Bunker, we have female-friendly golf lessons. That's right up your street, Martin.
Felicity is amazing. She runs them at my golf club, North Foreland, as well. She's fantastic.
Well, she's got some Wednesday sessions happening at Sittingbourne Golf Centre, and you can find out about them by going to her website, which is 4Women, and that's spelled F-O-R-E, 4Women, all one word, .co.uk/events, 4Women.co.uk/events, and find out about Felicity's female-friendly golf sessions on a Wednesday.
And you could probably bump into Shirley Mansfield there.
You probably could. She spends most of her time at Sittingbourne Golf Club these days. Don't you, Shirley?
Just a very quick recap on the Wealden Business Group. They have already voted on our behalf to come out of Europe.
They have indeed.
If you want to find out more about that vote and the meeting that took place, please have a look at the wealdenbusinessgroup.co.uk website, and there's a full write-up and blog on that there.
Cool. We've had a tweet from Fruitworks in Canterbury, and they say, hi, could we have a shout out please for our co-working space in Canterbury? We have hot desks, residential desks, and some very cool events. So do give them a follow. They're Fruitworks CO on the Twitter.
Charity Golf Day, just to recap very quickly again, Seven Oaks Chamber are running a charity golf day on June the 9th at Nizelle's Golf and Country Club, supporting three local charities, the Lewis Project, Seven Oaks Day Nursery, and the Bridge Trust. Please email info@sevenoakschamber.com if you are interested. Registration closes on June the 3rd, so you've got a little bit of time. Nizelle's Golf and Country Club, June the 9th, Seven Oaks Chamber running a charity golf day.
Cool. I had an email from James Knott, who works at Gillingham Football Club. And he said, hi, Business Bunker. With the 2015-16 season hurtling to a dramatic close, we have a fantastic opportunity. They want you to play centre-forward, Martin. Oh, no. due to the rescheduling of our crucial clash with Walsall, we are looking for a match day sponsor. The game has been moved to the 12th of April. This game will be the final floodlit football fixture for this season, and it's sure to be a thrilling encounter. Should you wish to sponsor this match, the package includes a complete advertising package, VIP parking, a tour of the Priestfield Stadium, drinks upon arrival, pre-match dining, a complimentary bar, match day programmes, team sheet, a bottle of champagne. They've got your champagne.
Oh, it's not fair.
A bottle of champagne, which goes to your selected man of the match. Enjoy exclusive post-match interviews and presentations with the man of the match. You get a framed shirt. You're on Sky TV. And you get a photo memento from the day. And it's all just 700 quid for four guests. Can't be bad, can it? For more information or to book this opportunity, you can email James at jknott@priestfield.com. jknott@priestfield.com. If you fancy sponsoring Gillingham versus Walsall.
Respected business coach Terry Botfield has got together with Red Rocket Associates, and they are running a Survive and Grow workshop. Take your business to the next level. The event is happening in Ashford on the morning of the 19th of April. They're also going to be running one on Saturday morning on the 23rd of April. That's Terry Botfield, together with Red Rocket Associates. You can find all the details of that. They've posted it on supplymybusiness.co.uk in the community section.
Fantastic, thank you. We've had a tweet from the Hop Shop. The Hop Shop, and they say, my pop-up will be open for business on the 16th of April, and you can find me at the Quills in Rochester High Street, and you can follow them on the Twitter at @thehop_shop. I wonder what they do. I think it might be beer. What do you reckon?
Dancing.
Fromage and French. Vanilla Web, we're hosting a pop-up supper in the shop with Chailey Beet Food on the 22nd of April, La Soirée Franche. More info on our website. So follow them, @fromage_French. @fromage_French.
I've got a little bit further ahead here. Saturday, 8th of October at Leeds Castle, Laura's Ball, raising money for Breast Cancer Kent. Local charity, they are looking to raise money to buy equipment for breakthrough technology in the detection and treatment of breast cancer. There are various sponsorship opportunities available around the ball. For more information, please contact Helen Tear. That's helen@teare.eu.
Fantastic, thank you for that. Coming up shortly on the 26th of April, we have the Kent Business to Business Exhibition at the Ashford International Hotel. You can find out about that by going to their website, which is kentb2b.co.uk. It's the annual event. I think 30 years they've been running now, or something like that. It's the Kent B2B on the 26th of April at the Ashford International Hotel. Be there.
Now, the Wealden Business Group have already decided we're coming out of Europe, but if you are undecided, Sevenoaks, I believe it's Sevenoaks District Council, are also running an EU debate with Daniel Hannan, MEP for the South East, and also our very own Paul Andrews. Paul, I believe you're going to be chairing
the event, yeah.
So that is taking place on the 28th of April from 7 till 10pm at the Space, Sevenoaks School in Sevenoaks. And to book onto that, I'm sure it's going to be a very vocal event, you can either email boxoffice@sevenoaksschool.org or visit the website thespace7oaks.co.uk, Walsall.
Cool. Thank you for that, Martin. We're going to take our mid-show break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to our next guest. So I thought I'd play some cheesy music for that. Here we go.